If you have your Bibles, turn with us again. We're going to go from the same scripture. It's like a little series for me, but I want to, if the Lord says so, we'll finalize it. But from Romans chapter number 12, verse number 10. And it reads, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with us. Take us higher and deeper in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us say amen.
Amen.
Our topic on today is kindness in action. So we mentioned that the word affection means fond or tender feeling. It's warm liking. Kind means to be sympathetic, friendly, gentle, tenderhearted, and generous. So to be kindly affectionate means to demonstrate a warm and friendly approach in a gentle and sympathetic manner. Paul is admonishing the Roman church to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And that means the only way we can display kind affection is through brotherly love. The writer of Hebrews 13:1 says to let brotherly love continue. In other words, it's our duty as Christians to allow brotherly love to be displayed in us and through us at all times. The Lord expects us to do unto others as we would like for them to do unto us. So today I want to focus on putting kindness into action. Spoken and written words are always good. They illustrate what's really on our minds. But our actions, I believe, demonstrate what's in our hearts. Our actions tell others more about us than our words ever could. Think about that. What you do means a whole lot more than what you say. Because our actions are the embodiment of everything that we are. Our words sometimes are what we would like to be, not necessarily what we are, but what we may want to be. Praise God. But our actions reveal who we are right now. Don't get me wrong. Words can help put actions into motion. Words can motivate us to do better and be better. So words do matter. Words can serve as the building block for our actions. Words can point the way to what needs to be done in the form of actions. So we don't discount words. Our words are important. Our words are significant. They are helpful. But words by themselves only serve to tickle our ears. They are sounds that beat into the air. But as they are no longer uttered, they fade away with the wind. Sometimes it's hard for you to remember what I even preached about. Amen. What did he say? What did he talk about? You know, it's hard. But actions, what people do for you, you remember those all the time. Actions can be seen. Actions can be touched. Actions can be felt. Actions moved and motivated by the right words are a powerful remedy for what ails us. They can produce a ray of sunshine in the middle of the fiercest storm. These actions can provide hope in the aftermath of a hurricane of despair. And let me give you a couple of examples. President Abraham Lincoln often visited hospitals to talk with wounded soldiers during the Civil War. Once, on one occasion, doctors pointed out a young soldier who was near death, and Lincoln went over to his bedside. "Is there anything I can do for you?" asked the president. The soldier obviously didn't recognize Lincoln, and with some effort, he was able to whisper, "Would you please write a letter to my mother?" A pen and paper were provided, and the president carefully began writing down what the young man was able to say. "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty. I'm afraid I'm not going to recover. Don't grieve too much for me, please. Kiss Mary and John for me. May God bless you and Father." The soldier was too weak to continue, so Lincoln signed the letter for him and added, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." The young man asked to see the note and was astonished when he discovered who had written it. "Are you really the president?" he asked. "Yes, I am," Lincoln replied quietly. Then he asked if there was anything else he could do. The young man said, "Would you please hold my hand? It will help me to see me through to the end." In the hushed room, the tall, gaunt president took the boy's hand in his and spoke warm words of encouragement until death came. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." Lincoln was like Paul. He was able to mingle with commoners like this young soldier, as well as those from the highest levels in society. It wasn't a publicity stunt for him to make these visits. He did it because he truly cared for these men. He wanted to be an inspiration to them, to help them with their recovery, if at all possible. For this young man, though, he left a lasting memory for his family that the president of the United States was there with their son when he died. Likewise, we are to do what we can to help as many as we can so that we might be able to save some. Our reason for living in the first place is to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? We do it with our actions. We do it when we do things like President Lincoln did. We glorify Jesus when we allow his light to shine through us. We glorify Jesus when we stop thinking so much about ourselves and we start focusing on other people. It's easy, y'all, to be selfish. It's easy. I got to pay my bills. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. You know, I got this vacation that I've planned. I got to make sure that I have enough money saved so that I can take some time off work and do some things with this one, that one, and the other. It's easy to be selfish. Glory to God. It's a lot harder, though, to to focus on others. It's a lot harder. It takes actual thought. It's not anything that comes naturally to us. It takes practice for us to do it. Albert Schweitzer, he was a theologian, musician, philosopher, a humanitarian in so many ways. He was a philanthropist. This man said this: wherever you turn, you can find someone who needs you. Even if it is a little thing, do something for which there is no pay but the privilege of doing it. Remember, you don't live in a world all of your own. Praise the Lord. When I saw that, it just hit me. Praise God. We don't live in this world by ourselves. We're here with others. And we were placed here by God to be a blessing to others. We were placed here by God to use the individual unique talents that we have to lift up the name of Jesus. As I've said, it's easy for us to come here and we sing songs and we do our dance and we do this and do that and do that. It's easy for us to do those kinds of things. But when we leave here, there's a big world out there that needs us. But the thing of it is, we can't get so overwhelmed by knowing that there's such a big world out there that needs us that we don't understand the world that Jesus wants us to focus on is the world that we're in. The other example that I want to give you is something that happened very recently. And I'm certain that many of you have heard of the little boy who loved the University of Tennessee and wanted to wear one of their t-shirts on his elementary school college day. He was only in the fourth grade. Well, he didn't have an official shirt from the University of Tennessee. So what he did was he had an orange shirt because their colors are orange, and he drew a U of T on a piece of paper, and he taped it to his orange shirt. Well, some of his classmates thought it was hilarious, very funny, and started teasing him over it. The boy returned from lunch and was crying. And he apparently told his teacher about the incident. The teacher could see that the young man was devastated. So she decided to do something about it. So taking things into her own hands, the teacher then took to the internet to see if she had any connections to the University of Tennessee to help make the t-shirt she planned to get him a little extra special. This teacher's caring and thoughtful action started a movement. The university heard about it and sent the boy a bunch of souvenirs and paraphernalia to brighten his day. But they didn't stop there. They took the design that the young man did and they made a t-shirt, an official University of Tennessee t-shirt out of his design. And they've sold over 50,000 copies of that t-shirt already. But the school didn't stop there. The school went even further. They reached out to the young lad and offered him a scholarship to attend the University of Tennessee when he graduates from high school 8 years from now. all of this took place because of one teacher. One caring and kind teacher who wanted to do something for this little boy. You may not be able to post anything on social media, because some of y'all don't even know what Facebook is. But you can use the talents and resources that you have to make a difference in somebody's life. As I just said, God has equipped all of us with unique abilities to do the work we've been called to do on this earth. The key, though, is, are we willing to let God use us? We've got to find ways each and every day to get out of God's way. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
We used to use the term let go and let God. Well, it's the same thing. We have to let go and let God do what he wants to do in us and through us. He wants to work through us to impact someone else's life. And I believe all of us want this to happen. I don't think anybody, especially inside this church, wants to sit back and say, I don't want God to use me. If you do, we need to pray for you. I don't believe anybody wants to say, I don't want God to use me. I believe you want God to use you to make a difference in somebody else's life. But we've got to realize and understand ourselves enough first so that we can recognize when we're getting in the way. Now, that's really a topic for another sermon, because Shakespeare said, to thine own self, you need to be true. So that's a topic for another sermon, and we'll do that some other day. Amen? But for now, I want to close with this. I want to close with a thought that I have. And I know sometimes I have these little thoughts. They just come into my mind and they're there. But I want you to bear with me. What I'm thinking about is establishing a kindness barometer. A kindness barometer. So what I want us to do beginning this January is to set an annual goal of 10,000 acts of kindness performed by this church. And you may say, 10,000? That's a lot. And it is. 10,000 is a large number. But when you break it down by the number of active members who are in this church, it amounts to about one act of kindness per member each and every day. One act of kindness. Just one. One act of kindness. So what I'm thinking is that all you would do is write down on a piece of paper with your name how many acts of kindness have you participated in during the week. That's it. Just your name and the number of acts of kindness that you have tangibly participated in during the week. And if there was something that was outstanding, you would write whatever that outstanding, and there is no criteria for what you believe outstanding is. You just write down what you believe was outstanding. So what kinds of things am I talking about? I've already given you some examples a few weeks ago, but allowing someone to cut into your lane in heavy traffic, to me, that's an act of kindness, because everybody doesn't do that. Sometimes I don't even do it. It's like, it took me a long time to get up here. And here you are. You came all the way and came through the easy lane to get up here, and you want to get in front of me? No, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've done that. I've had that thought in my mind. No. And then sometimes I get convicted. And then I saw a commercial on TV where here you are, you're on an airplane. I don't know if you have ever been on an airplane, but the middle seat, the person's elbow is on two sides of the armrest. So here you are, you're on the left side or the right side, and you just like to put your elbow on the rest. But the person in the middle seat has both of them. And I saw this commercial where it was a satire, but they were fighting over who could put their elbow on the middle. So the act of kindness is, let them have that middle portion for the duration of the flight. Glory to God. Another act of kindness is calling someone on the phone and giving them a word of encouragement, or buying coffee for a complete stranger, or seeing someone struggling with a package and offering a helping hand to carry it for them, or whatever. I mean, there are so many things out there that you can do. But I hope you get the picture. So what we're going to do, we have a box set aside specifically for this. Just like we've got a box for prayer requests, we have a box for this. And we'll tally our weekly progress. We'll have some kind of metric that we can look at and see how are we doing towards that 10,000. So why are we doing this? Or why would I want you to do this? I believe, as I said on last week, because it's nice to be nice. And that kindness can be contagious. And also, it is a tangible reminder for us to be the person that Christ has called us to be. That's all it is. It's just like tying a ribbon around your finger to remember something. So remembering to be kind is just one of those things like the children of Israel used to do. They used to write things around, write them and put them around their wrists or around their necks to remind them to do what God had asked them to do. So doing this is just a tangible reminder. And as we do it over and over and over again, it will become second nature to us. And we will just do it without having to worry about, well, have I gotten my one in today? Because remember, before you go to bed, you want to get that one in. Praise God. Amen. But that's what I have in mind. So we'll start that on January the 1st. The idea, saints, we all want to be what God wants us to be. And we all want to do what God would have us to do. And my role is to help you. My role is to facilitate certain things in your life, so that you will be in a position to be successful in being that person. You know, it's easy for me to stand up and preach and, yeah, you got to do better. Yeah, that's true. And some of that I am going to do. But there are other times it's important for us to provide you with tangible ways in which you can do better. Tangible ideas to assist you and to help you to become what God has asked of you to be.